25 years ago, the northern spotted owl went on the endangered species list, which either lists animals and plants as threatened or endangered. The owl is listed as threatened, and that listing curtails a number of activities that could affect owl nests and habitat. What it does not do is guarantee a rebounding of spotted owl population numbers, and in fact, owl numbers keep sliding, which is why EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center in Arcata, asked for and got a review of the owl's status from the federal government. Rob DiPerna is with EPIC. He's the forest and wildlife advocate there and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So how long has it been since EPIC asked for the Fish and Wildlife Service to give the owl another look?
It has been almost 3 years.
Really?
And yes, we filed the petition to what's known as reclassify the northern spotted owl from a threatened to endangered species, I believe in August of 2012. And it's been a long road to hoe, and, you know, we have been waiting that long just to get an initial finding, which is called a 90-day finding, which, as you can probably guess, is supposed to happen within 90 days, and it didn't. So we were disappointed with that, but we're certainly encouraged by the finding we did get finally.
I'll ask about the 90-day finding in just a little bit. There is an element of humor there because nothing here seems to be happening in 90 days. But what prompted the request in the first place?
We have witnessed in the last few years, especially, you know, since the recovery plan and the critical habitat designation were issued by the Fish and Wildlife Service for the owl, that owl numbers continue to decline at a frightening rate. You know, the demographic study that came out in 2011 showed that most study areas were in decline for several vital statistics for the northern spotted owl. And the studies that are coming out this year they're slowly starting to trickle out, and we're starting to see the results of those. Those are worse even than the 2011 numbers. And so we were very alarmed when we started to see these trends. And you know, given all the different myriad of threats to the owl, we thought that a reclassification to an endangered species was probably warranted.
Given that any species of any animal or plant, for that matter, is going to have some variations, I mean, how much of a change do you think we're talking about between the demographic study from 2011 and what you're hearing about the preliminaries of this year's findings?
What we're hearing, and again, you know, the meta study, the meta analysis, as it's called, has not been published yet. It's in review. What we understand from it, though, is that the numbers are grim, that it's not just some of the study areas that have been in precipitous decline, but we're actually seeing almost all of them show declines in, you know, very vital statistics such as, you know, survival, reproduction, and those kinds of things. And, you know, an actual occupancy of sites that were formerly occupied by spotted owls. We're just not seeing the occupancy, the reproduction, and the survival of the species that, you know, that we had in the past. And the decline appears to be accelerating.
This is a fairly broad physical range. I mean, you're talking to us from Arcata, but, you know, the spotted owl lives all the way up into British Columbia, doesn't it?
At one time. Uh-huh. There are few, if any, spotted owls left in British Columbia, and as we know, the populations in Washington and Oregon are struggling perhaps more than the populations here in California, although, again, the study's results that we're seeing from the California study areas are even not good.
So are there any variations? I mean, are there any areas where left alone and undisturbed spotted owls are growing in number?
Well, so that's the real crux of this, is that they're really not being left alone, so to speak, as you put it. There are a number of threats to the owl. You know, as we know, the Northwest Forest Plan that was developed by the Clinton administration in the 1990s substantially curtailed logging of old growth on public lands and created what became the Northwest Forest Plan and, you know, the late successional reserve system. But what we're finding is that's while it curtailed a lot of the logging and it helped, it's not the be all end all answers what we're finding, you know. And we're even seeing populations of northern spotted owl decline on public lands, and that has to do primarily with two things. You know, there's still habitat being lost on public lands, although again at a significantly less accelerated rate than it was in the past. And barred owls is the other thing that we're seeing. The invasion of the barred owl has really change the landscape in terms of the challenges that we face in terms of northern spotted owl recovery.
Because it is just that much bigger and that much more aggressive, it sounds like.
It is a bigger, more aggressive bird, and it doesn't, while it likes the same kinds of habitat that the spotted owl likes in terms of, you know, the intact contiguous blocks of older, more mature forest, it doesn't rely on those as much. It's more of a generalist than the spotted owl, and it's able to get into areas that are more fragmented where spotted owls where past management or current management is affecting spotted owls, and it's kind of like a 1-2 punch effect.
Habitat loss and barred owls.
Yeah.
That's a real 1-2 punch. We're talking to Rob DiPerna, who is the Forest and Wildlife Advocate at EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center based in Arcata. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about reclassifying the spotted owl potentially from threatened to endangered on the endangered species list. Join us at 800-838-3760 around the listening area, 800-838-3760. The email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Rob, what essentially is the difference in calling spotted owls threatened or endangered?
Well, there's, of course, the symbolic part of it, which is to say that the species is now threatened with extinction as opposed to could be threatened with extinction in the near future, which is the distinction between threatened and endangered under the Act. But more importantly, there are benefits in terms of, you know, the Fish and Wildlife Service, should we get an endangered finding out of them at some point, it would make it much more difficult for them to issue habitat conservation plans and incidental take permits for the owl on private lands. It would force a much harder look at projects on public lands through the Section 7 consultation process. It could affect the process that's going on our national forests in terms of revising the forest plans, which is a process that the Forest Service is just beginning. Across the Northwest. And so there's several things that could benefit. And, of course, the other thing, the big elephant in the room, is what do we do about barred owls? And can we look at more, what more can we do about barred owls? And, you know, we feel like an endangered listing would really push the Fish and Wildlife Service to look more at barred owls and perhaps look more at habitat retention and development, particularly, you know, the recovery plan and the critical habitat designation really don't put private land out there as important for the recovery of the owl. And we here feel like private lands are an important piece not only to conserving the owl but actually recovering the owl in the long-term future.
Does the critical habitat currently designated include private land?
Not much, if any.
Really?
Very, very little. The critical habitat designation almost exclusively relies on public lands. Again, the Northwest Forest Plan, the late successional reserve system, and the management regime that's been ongoing on public lands. But, you know, as you may or may not know, EPIC has been a very ardent watchdog of the Forest Service and their activities on public lands over many years. And, you know, we still see the Forest Service trying to log in suitable spotted owl habitat, critical spotted owl habitat. We see, you know, down here we have a salvage logging proposal called the West Side Recovery Project in the Klamath National Forest.
Right. Yeah, we've talked to the forest leaders about that.
Yeah, in the Klamath, where they are proposing to you know, go into late successional reserves and do some management, and we're concerned about those things.
Well, you know, individual forests and individual management plans aside, I mean, this ultimately gets into, it would seem, a philosophical discussion of how hard humans work to preserve any single type of animal. I mean, the spotted owl is fairly docile and easy to scare away. That's well documented. I mean, have you had this discussion within your organization or within the environmental community of how far you go to protect an animal?
You know, that's a very good question, and it's a tough question. And the answer really is that while we are interested, certainly, in protecting and conserving this particular animal and this particular species, it's more about landscape-level management and approaches. It's more about trying to get to retain and recruit larger, older, more complex forest structures on our landscape, not just for the spotted owl, but for a suite of other species that rely on older, more mature, late successional, late seral type forest types. I mean, for example, we saw just recently the federal government found that the listing of the Pacific fisher was warranted. And the Pacific fisher, like the spotted owl, likes old growth, likes forests with a lot of canopy cover, doesn't like a lot of breakups in the landscape like clear cuts or heavily managed areas or roads or things like that. So there are other species that would be ancillarily benefited, I should say, by the uplisting of the owl, presumably, we would hope. And the other piece of it is habitat connectivity, which is something that we at EPIC are really looking hard at now, is how do we manage and create corridors for wildlife like spotted owls, like fishers, like Humboldt martins, and, you know, create a landscape-level management approach that still allows for some management while, you know, improving the conditions of the forest.
Rob DiPerna, again, is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the forest and wildlife advocate with EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center. We're talking about reclassifying the northern spotted owl from threatened to endangered, something the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says it will address now. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So a 90-day finding. Obviously, nothing seems to happen in 90 days in this process, but what is the timeline from here, Rob?
Well, it's interesting, you know, the Act, the Endangered Species Act, once you have a positive 90-day finding, calls for the Fish and Wildlife Service to do a 12-month finding in which they do scoping, they will accept comments from the public and interested stakeholders, all, you know, from across the Northwest on this. And, you know, the 90-day finding did include requests for specific kinds of information related to the owl. And what is supposed to happen then is a 12-month finding determination. But the Fish and Wildlife Service has already indicated that their 12-month finding will not be produced until about September 2017. So that's almost 2.5 years later. But, you know, so the timelines are not being adhered to by the service at all in this instance. We have chosen to, however, work with the service on this as we understand the position they find themselves in the reality, which is they're understaffed and underfunded and overburdened with petitions.
All right, lots going on. We have not talked yet about the idea of well, the removal, I guess, is the term that tends to get used for barred owls as a way to make room for spotted owls. There has been some success there. We're talking about killing barred owls. How does EPIC come down on that?
You know, we have, to this point, taken a neutral position on this. We've neither supported or opposed it. We see both sides of this issue clearly. I mean, clearly there is some benefit to testing this, to testing whether or not the removal of barred owls will benefit spotted owls over the long term. But we also see the downside, which is that that doesn't address the overarching issue, which is habitat. And, you know, how many barred owls do we have to kill and for how long before we start seeing benefits for spotted owls? No one knows the answer to that question. And how far does this go? Right now it's at a very experimental level. And if the Fish and Wildlife Service wants to do more of this kind of thing, they're probably going to have to do another environmental impact statement and study it further, look at the results of the study that's currently ongoing, and determine at what scale and at what, you know, and at what intensity can they really do this, and what's the effect.
Let's take some calls. We have Martine in Cave Junction. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rob DiPerna.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, good. I was going to mention one thing about BLM. In the BLM Medford District, which manager is Dane Barron, there is a problem because we have, I'm living actually close to LSR, uh-huh. And it's also an area that contains a critical habitat unit. And the BLM has actually taken off a gate that was protected this area. And when the gate was left open a year ago, there was like an invasion of poachers, of people shooting, tramping by the creek, I mean, doing all kind of logging, like 5 feet diameter trees, right in this area. And then they decided all of a sudden that they're not going to put back the gate in that area that has a lot of natural roads. Therefore, in the summer, it's a very, very high fire danger. They don't even care about that. So how do you make the BLM, you know, even respecting their own rule to protect habitat like this for the spotted owl? And that's what I, you know, wrote. Mm-hmm. And I say, you can't do this. You have to protect this area. And, you know, that gate needs to be there because, you know, I said, the spotted owl, you're going in there, has never been logged. It's a really beautiful area. They're very rare. Mm-hmm. And then they still don't care.
All right, so late successional reserve is the LSR you're talking about. And have you heard of actions like this before, Rob?
You know, I'm not familiar with this specific situation, of course, but, you know, what what we do here at EPIC is, you know, we monitor the Forest Service's activities and the BLM's activities. And, you know, when it comes to things like we feel like they're breaking the law, we take them to court. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that EPIC does that's kind of unique here in Northwest California, is that we do litigation.
Okay. Let's take another call. Here's Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about reclassifying the spotted owl with Rob DiPerna.
Hi, thanks for having me. I have a general question. I hope it's on the subject as far as the spotted owl and the forest and the environment and everything. And I've been concerned and working to help save the forest ever since I moved here in the 70s after coming from the East Coast and see how they completely wasted a lot of the East Coast. But it's surprising, the East Coast is doing a hell of a lot more than we are in a lot of areas as far as not poisoning our local people like a Triangle Lake with aerial spraying on private land and just the general things as far as the environment. My question is, the biggest thing I find hard to help develop the forest and save our old growth and everything is that the majority of people I talk to really like old growth, and it's because they're hunters, and they can go out, and elk really like open spaces, but it's costing the environment hundreds and even thousands of species that would be there if we didn't have old growth, just like happened in Yellowstone, how they brought wolves in, and they converted a valley, which was like the dead Serengeti, into a very healthy environment with beaver dams, every type of a...
Because the wolves are there to keep the elk under control.
How would you talk to people about that when you want to help the forest?
All right, so how do you bring people in to help? Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. Rob?
You know, that's a great question and a great point, and I appreciate that call. We try to do a lot of education. We try to do a lot of outreach. From our end, you know, we have our website, our e-news, our action alerts, our press releases, and we try to really educate our membership and the general public about not just this one animal. Again, it's not, it is about this animal, but it's not in the larger picture. It's about the health and the health of our forests. It's about how these species contribute to the health of the forest, not just spotted owls, but other species as well. And I think that's the point the caller was trying to make, is that there's a value to these species being in the forest, and I would totally agree with that.
We also have an email from Boyd in Wolf Creek saying that quality old growth habitat on BLM, here again the BLM land, is being compromised currently because it is matrix, which is the land designated for timber production. Corridors are indeed important, connecting isolated islands of habitat, which is something that's been talked about since the beginning of the Northwest Forest Plan. The process from here, now you said probably September of 2017, is there any provision for public hearings or public comment as part of the reclassifying of the spotted owl?
You know, my understanding of the way this is going is that the Fish and Wildlife Service is already asking for information. In the 90-day finding, they specified several questions to which they would like information, evidence, and answers from a wide variety, anybody who wants to comment to the Fish and Wildlife Service. And you can find where to comment in the 90-day finding. There should be a docket number now for this, to the Federal Register portal to submit comments.
Okay, we will look for that and see if we can provide a link to that on our website at jeffexchange.org. Rob DiPerna is the Forest and Wildlife Advocate at EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center in Arcata. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.